So I'm going to be standing just at the back of the room here. If you want to pass your question sheets to me, you can. If not, call them out to Chris. And we just say, thank you, God, for Chris. We thank you for the blessing he is to us. May we continue to encounter you as we have this conversation. Amen.
Thank you, Rich. Just to say that this is the first of a series of three talks that will be given the following 3 weeks about the Holy Spirit. So if we don't cover everything today, that's fine. Now, you think you're going to ask me questions, but I'm going to ask you a question to start with. This is going to be a conversation rather than grill the preacher guy. So my question is this: what was missing from the video that we've seen that is absolutely central and vital to an understanding of the Holy Spirit? Yes, thank you, Margaret. I'm sorry. Well, it did mention that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, Romans 1 verse 3 talks about that. But Laura's hit the nail on the head. It doesn't mention that the Holy Spirit is a person. And that is absolutely central. Why is it so important that the Holy Spirit is a person? How would we understand God differently if the Holy Spirit wasn't a person? True. And we certainly do relate to the Holy Spirit as a person, don't we? He is just as much a person as Jesus or God the Father. And that was missing, yeah.
Star Wars, say it'd be like the Force.
The Force be with you. There was a lot about energy and power, and of course it was the Spirit of God that hovered over the creation and formed the world and hovers over each one of us, giving us new birth and giving life, the new creation. Yes, not just an inanimate force or power, but a person, a personality. Okay, some questions. Now, I had some questions earlier in the week. Naomi and Elijah, you had a question. Do you want to say what it was? Do you remember? No? I think your question was about why is the Holy Spirit pictured like a dove? Oh, that was yours. Oh, very good. Yes. Where is he pictured as a dove? Do you know? In the Bible in coloring books. He's mentioned one place in the Bible, and that's when Jesus is baptized. The Holy Spirit comes on him in the form of a dove. And that's good, but what does it mean? Well, we think of a dove as peaceful or gentle, but I think it's most confusing, actually, because it means, well, Father, Son, and a dove. The Holy Spirit is compared to lots of things: breath, wind, fire, oil, water, lots of different things that talk about his power, but not so much about him as a person. So, yes, it's okay to think of the Holy Spirit coming on Jesus. The Father was present, speaking from heaven. Jesus is there, and the Spirit comes. The whole Trinity is present, but it's not a complete way of speaking about God, is it? Now, there was another question. Naomi's question. Do you want to shout it out? What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Well, I say for a starter, I know 1% of 1% of all there is to know about the Holy Spirit. So, and I'm sure the Lord is smiling in heaven as this great authority stands up and speaks to you. He thinks, what on earth is he on about? What's the purpose of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit does many things. He empowers batteries so they come on. And so. The Holy Spirit makes God real to us. We talk about the presence of the Spirit. And it is only through the Holy Spirit that we can know God. You can read your Bible, as I did as a child, and it was just squiggles on a page. the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And so when we read the Bible, when you open your Bible, you're not reading it on your own. The Holy Spirit is there with you with his highlighter pen, underlining words and say, think about this. This is for you. This has got your name on it. I want you to listen to this. So he makes the presence of God real to us on a Sunday morning. Anyone felt the presence of God particularly this morning? Yes. Mary, with the picture you had from the Lord. That's what the Lord does through the Holy Spirit. He gives us ideas. He whispers to us. He drops thoughts in our head. He prompts us. He prompted, well, wasn't that a marvelous story about the ham? From the very, very mundane and ordinary, God is involved in the circumstances of our lives, orchestrating things for good, working things together for good. That's the Holy Spirit that does that. Margaret handed me a piece of paper. Does the Holy Spirit stay with us in heaven? Well, that's a good one. I never thought of that. Who's got the answer to that one? It has to be yes, doesn't it? Because if Jesus said, I'm going to never leave you or forsake you, then that's true for the Holy Spirit too. He is always with us. And our experience of the Spirit will be even greater. So we're being transformed by the Holy Spirit, aren't we? And when we see him, we should be like him. So we're all on this journey, becoming more and more like him. Rich. Wow, well, I'm sure the Holy Spirit was real to the disciples in lots of different ways because, I mean, Jesus sent them out to heal, didn't he, and to cast out evil spirits. And that was before his resurrection, Jesus' resurrection. So they were conscious that they weren't operating by a power that lay within themselves, but came from God. But of course, the big event was in Pentecost. That must have been totally mind-blowing. 120 disciples gathered, I think, in a temple area, the house of the Lord, and they start speaking in languages they never learned. And that must have been absolutely bewildering. Just imagine you suddenly start speaking a language you've never learned. And tongues of fire descended on them. That was like that. The Holy Spirit came when his glory filled the temple at the time of Solomon. So the Holy Spirit was creating temples for the Holy Spirit. I don't think there's a quick answer to this, Rich. It's a very big topic, isn't it? There was a second part to the question, wasn't there? I don't think we can limit him to one way. I think he comes in many different ways. And it's according to our ability to receive him. I think it's according to our personalities and the way we're wired. He comes to us in ways that we can understand sometimes, ways that are suitable for us. And then sometimes he'll completely blindside us and comes in ways that we were totally unexpected. I think the important thing is to be open to the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Holy Spirit, come and fill me with your presence and power. One thing he does that's very important, that he makes Jesus real to us. That's what Jesus said he would do. He said, I'm going to leave you and I'm going to send someone almost to take my place. Here am I in one person, in one place at one time, but the Holy Spirit can be with all of you in every place at all times. That is fantastic, isn't it? So the Holy Spirit is just as real now as he was in the life of Jesus. That's important, isn't it? So we've got to be open to him. Okay. Oh my. Yes. Well, that's a term that's used five times in John's gospel. This is Jesus' last talk with his disciples, right? Very important. He tells them a lot about the devil, but he tells them even more about the Holy Spirit. And this word, Jesus uses a special word, parakletos. It means one who's called alongside. Kaleo is to call. I'm calling, come alongside and help me. And so our Bibles give it different translations. Helper, encourager, counselor, intercessor, guide, advocate, all these different things. Now, that's what Jesus promised his disciples. Are we Jesus' disciples? Sure. So we can expect the Holy Spirit to come alongside us. Sometimes very gently, unassuming will do instead, yes. Unobtrusive, yes. In many different ways. So I don't think the Holy Spirit has changed or Jesus' promise has changed. So that's how we should expect him to come alongside us and whisper things and comfort us. You see, if you were in need of prayer, the Holy Spirit will be your intercessor. If you are lost, he will be your guide. If you are lonely, he will be your comforter. He puts his arms around you. He encourages you. He is to you all you need to be. And that's important, isn't it, for our daily lives? Rich. I'll answer the second part first. The Holy Spirit is not confined to the church. The Holy Spirit is far more active in the world than we ever give him credit for. He is working constantly in every person across the face of this world. And he's working to show them himself. He's working to help them in countless ways that we can't even imagine. He is not limited, so he is able to do all things. And he's working in the hearts of those who don't know him. Jesus said that he came to bring conviction, to convince the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment, but not in a totally negative way. It's more like, I want to help you. I want to help you in your life. I want you to help you know me better. That sort of thing. So yes, he's active everywhere. What's the first part again? Oh, yes. It doesn't leave us for good, that's for sure. We all mess up big time. And we can, it says, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can cause him pain. There are a few references to the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. And one is, they grieved my spirit. I think it's in Isaiah. They grieved my spirit. They hurt. And when you hurt someone, they're not happy. And they may withdraw. And we can resist the Holy Spirit. That's one of Paul's exhortations, that don't resist the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. But he is forgiving and will come to us again. And even if we mess up, he's far more loyal and loving than we can possibly give credit for. He's not like someone whom we offend and then goes off and has a hissy fit and a sulk and all the rest of it. No, he is there for us. And even in our rebellion and stupidity and foolishness, he is there for us. And that is really reassuring. Now, you can, of course, totally oppose the Holy Spirit. And there's language Jesus talked about that, slandering the Holy Spirit. And that's terrible. But I don't think we're in that situation, no. Okay. Ooh. How do we know what our gift, what the gifts of the Spirit? Right, this is, you know, how long have we got, eh? Last question, another half hour, okay. The important thing that the Holy Spirit gives gifts to each person, to each one of us, is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, Paul writes in Corinthians. So we have all got a gift. And we have an obligation, if you like, to seek the Lord as to what those gifts are. Now, if they're the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit that we read about in 1 Corinthians, that's going to be more obvious. But I think God uses our personalities and our characters to equip us in different ways. So we mustn't just think of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit as being the comprehensive, authoritative, all there is that the Holy Spirit has for us. There's lots of different ways. There's a list of gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. You might like to look at that and say, which resonates most with me and my personality? Do I have the gift of hospitality, Heather Nee? Do I have the gift of giving? I'm not going to call out anyone here, but that's a gift, isn't it? So seek the Lord as to what he has equipped you with and what he wants to give you. Let's pray, shall we? Because we need the Holy Spirit in our daily lives, don't we? Paul encourages us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be in that place where we're receptive to God. So why don't we just open our hands and say, Holy Spirit, come and fill us now. From the very youngest to the very oldest, we need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit at school. You need the Holy Spirit with your mum and dad. We need the Holy Spirit with our colleagues, with our partners. Holy Spirit, would you come now? And as we've been singing, breathe on me now, Lord. Just as you breathed on the disciples and said, receive Holy Spirit. Let's breathe in as an act of faith. Breathing into our lungs the breath of God, equipping us and resourcing us for this coming week. And we thank you, Lord. We drink deeply of you. And let's not leave here and think that's it. Let's go home and continually seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Thanks, Chris. Can we just express our thanks to Chris, please? Just, I know that can feel a bit untraditional because we've not had a sermon as such, but that was a really biblical practice. That was really normal for biblical times for a long time, to have a conversation with someone with a bit of knowledge and start learning collectively as family. So thanks so much, Chris, for modeling that to us this morning.